and my, what a message and song, what a need expressed. That is our need. We appreciate so much the effort that went into the special music, the choir special, and then Brother Chris and all of them singing this morning. And I think it's good for us to, in this 10-year remembrance of what happened on 9/11, to pay a little attention and to do a few things to help us remember. Amen. Go to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm not going to have time to go through the chapters like I'd like to, so I'm just going to read a few verses, tell you a little bit about it. If you were to study about three chapters here near the end of the life of Moses, I think it's fitting as we make a comparison a little bit with what we're talking about today. I want to speak to you this morning on the danger of forgetfulness. Now, we joke about that some. I understand that, and that's okay. Lady came to church with her husband, and she tapped him on the arm. She looked a little bit miserable. He said, "What's the matter?" She said, "Well, I left the iron plugged in. The house may catch on fire." He said, "Well, I'll offset that. It'll be all right. I left the water running in the restroom." So we're all pretty good about forgetting something, aren't we? On a serious note, though, it can be tragic. If you saw in the paper in the last few days, you see this sort of thing. Saw where a young husband went by, what was not maybe his usual thing to do, went by and picked up a young child, his child, maybe a year, 2 years old, whatever, and put it in the car seat in the back, and then went back by his business for 2 or 3 hours, but forgot about the child that dozed off in the back seat. And the heat killed the baby. Now that's tragic. Forgetfulness can hurt us. More than a joke, it can be pretty painful. I look here in the text and I find that Moses is trying to admonish the children of Israel. He's trying to get them to remember. If you look with me in chapter 31, we'll pick it up in about verse 28. Moses is making a conclusion here. God has given him a song. He wrote it in the same day that God gave it. And that song's in chapter 32. And that's God's way, one of God's way of trying to get the Jews, the children of Israel, to remember and to not go back on him and not to bring the judgment of God on him. And so Moses is talking to him here, and he says in verse 28 of chapter 31, he says here, "Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and of your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And then you have the song. In verse 7, he tells them to remember the days of old. If you jump on over to about verse 16, you'll read here how that he warns them. He says they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. I want you to notice that, strange gods. "With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God." To gods, see the little G there, to gods whom they knew not. "To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee." You find here Moses, and my heart goes out to Moses. Look what he's been through. He's down now to where God's already told him, "You're going to die. I'm going to take you up on the mountain. You're going to look at the promised land, but you're not going to go in there because you let the people provoke you." Remember the story? How that he was to speak to the rock, and he smote the rock. He smote it one time, and the water come out, and later God said, "Just speak to it." But he smote it again. Remember the story? You understand the rock's a picture of the Lord Jesus. He was smitten once for us. After that, you speak to him. Amen. He'd never be crucified again. I feel sorry for the folks that think they can get saved and then lose it and get saved again. He's only crucified once for you. He's not coming back to die again. He's coming back to reign again. But here we find that Moses has been told now, God's told him, I'm going to take you up there. You're going to die up there. And so Moses is trying to remind these people of their history. History's important, folks. That's what's hurting America today. We've lost our history. We've lost the truth of it. It's been perverted. It's right to teach your kids, parents. In our school here, our Christian school, we want to teach them our heritage. We want to teach them where we come from. We want to teach them what God did in the past. And as Chris was saying, how we still need his grace today. Amen. Teach your kids. Don't assume. They know. A preacher tells a story recently. His little 9-year-old girl. It's kind of funny, but he said, it was President's Day, and he said, I was talking to her about what she learned in school. She said, well, I learned it's President's Day. He said, what does that mean, hon? He thought she was going to say something about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. She said, well, on President's Day, he said, President Obama comes out, and if he sees his shadow, it means we've got another year of unemployment. Now, kids come up with it, don't they? That's not as bad perverted as some history I hear about. But with all truth, we ought to teach them something. They ought to know where we come from. Amen. And they ought to know why it's important that we stay on track. Amen? You know, we need to understand forgetting brings God's judgment when we ignore God. Forgetting can cause destruction. Let me say a few things about that. To begin with, forgetting can destroy the foundation of our morals. The Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the truth is today, we look at the immorality and we bemoan it and we see all things and we wonder what in the world is wrong. And yet we realize there's about a couple of generations that's had nothing to anchor their morals in. I mean, they've gotten so far from God and his book and from God's teaching until we shouldn't be amazed. They've been told they evolved from an animal. They came from a monkey, so they're acting like it. They don't understand there's a creator that they've got to face and a creator that they owe their allegiance to. Mr. Darwin's foolishness with evolution. The media jokes think you're nut if you don't believe in evolution. Well, I got news for you. We'll find out when the trumpet sounds who the nuts are. Amen. I was reading something just this week where Charles Darwin was bemoaning the fact. And by the way, most folks haven't read him real well. If you read him real well, you'd understand some things. It may be that he even recanted at near the end of his life. But he was bemoaning the fact that the complexity of the human eye, with all the different things it does as it focuses and all that it does, it couldn't be by accident. He even said, that denies my theory. I mean, a little common sense was breaking through on him there. No, our creation is too complex to have happened by accident. We didn't come out from under a wet rock somewhere. We have a divine creator that created us. And the Bible says that the Lord have made us, not we ourselves. But the moral foundation's destroyed in so many ways today. The last few generations. I use a word, you'll know it immediately. Woodstock, where a bunch of dirty, stinking, long-haired hippies got in a man's cow pasture, and the cows ought to be apologized to. That crowd went out there in the cow pasture and beat a bunch of drums and had a bunch of crazy music going on. And all kind of immorality was practiced. And all of a sudden, the so-called intellectuals elite. By the way, you know who those kids were? They come out of the colleges and the universities. They'd already been taught by the professors that they came from monkeys, so they went out there to monkey around, amen? They went out there in that place and where their immorality was shared, and hey, we got Hollywood and others glorifying that stuff. Well, no wonder our country's in a mess. Intellectual elites pointing to that. That's why today, and off the TV, you've seen it over and over and over, all this stuff on TV, it's glorified. Glorified, the immorality of hell is what it is. Yet, We look around today and see our kindergartens. Now, do you understand that in California they're already teaching the kids in kindergarten, not only concerning Islam, not only concerning homosexuality, they'd have two daddies and two men, two mothers, so on. They're teaching that. And that's a family. It's not a family. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, brother. Big difference. Big difference. But anyway, they're teaching the kids in kindergarten slang language. We're trying to teach ours not to use slang language. Amen. Oh, they got some names for it, but they're teaching them that already. And we look around and we see the morals missing, and they are missing, and we miss them in a time of crisis. You know, 9/11, there was some renewal in the country. Trouble is, it didn't last long enough. I'm glad this week they've replayed some of the scenes. You saw some of them on the screen. I'm glad they have, and I'm glad of the stories of heroes like Todd Beamer that the choir was singing to. I'm glad some folks showed some Christian, and he was a Christian, by the way. I'm glad to see some values expressed by so many, and yet it didn't take long before the liberals went to attacking those values after 9/11. I think about the plane that fell there in Pennsylvania and how it would have hit the White House had it not been for the heroes on that plane. I really believe that plane would have made it right on into the White House. We ought to rehearse that sort of stuff to our kids. They ought to know something about the real America. I mean the hard-working America. I mean the taxpaying America. I mean the moral America. I mean the foundation that we were built on. That's what needs to be rehearsed to our kids. We look around today and see so much of that that's missing. We had the rally down at Bartow Friday afternoon. Appreciate all the folks that come and appreciate the sheriff speaking to us and others. But there was a lady came up to me. I don't know this directly, but I'm going to tell you what she told me. After that service, that prayer service was over, and of course our emphasis was on 9/11 and on prayer for our country. And she come up and she said, my little girl came home from school and told me, Mama, you've been telling me wrong. The planes didn't actually fly into those buildings. They just came close and opened the door and threw a bomb on the buildings. Now, I said, how could that be? Where'd she live? She said she learned that in her class. I said, are you sure? She said, that's what she's telling me. And I said, well, what'd you say? She said, I told her that couldn't be true. First place, you can't open the door on an airplane like that. But why? I asked the question, why? Why are we watering down the truth? Why are we going to the place of doing everything we can to take the spotlight off the guilty, parties? Why are we covering up for that stuff? I don't understand. I really don't. Little girl saying something like that. But forgetting will destroy our foundations that we're built on. That's what Moses was concerned about here. He said, after my death, he said, you're going to go bad if you don't look out. Now, God's given me this song, and this song is to remind you and to warn you. And by the way, God loves us enough to warn us. And the Bible says the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. That includes us. Amen. But I'll tell you what else forgetting will do. It'll open us up to false gods. We read it in the text here. New gods, strange gods. He said, you'll turn to them and you'll bring God's wrath upon you. And the truth is that we look around after 10 years, we still see our country and much of our leadership in denial about what really happened. And still trying to tell us, like they did right after the event, that Islam's a loving religion. Oh, no, 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 no. It wasn't Baptists and Methodists that flew the planes into the towers. It was Muslims. It was their religion. They were fulfilling their religion. They were doing what it was going to take to earn their heaven with their 72 virgins. That was their plan. Whole thing. Why do we keep denying that from the top down? And that's where it's come. That's where the denial's come. And in fact, I'm encouraged I'm not much on the internet business and the modern technology, but some of the truth's getting out because of that. And it's getting harder and harder for the top elite to cover up truth. And I'm proud that it is getting harder for them too. But for 10 years, they've been in denial. And today's threat. Now, I didn't see the ceremonies this morning. I was down here, didn't have the TV on. But somebody said they had the ceremonies this morning. I guess Ground Zero, wherever it was. And I'm glad that they were reading scripture, and I'm glad for whatever they said. I asked the question, though, did the Lord Jesus Christ get mentioned? I find politicians are quick to mention God and slow to mention Jesus. Yet my Bible tells me we can't honor the Father without honoring the Son. Amen. But today, as we meet in church, it's the 11th. And we're under threat as a nation right now. You understand they're on high alert today? That they're wanting to hit us again on the anniversary. That'd be a feather in their cap. That's what they want to do. And the truth is, we better quit denying there's a crowd out there that wants to do that to us. Today's threat, I read where they were going to have a service, and I guess they're yet going to have it, maybe today, in the National Cathedral. Remember, that's where they gathered in earlier after 9/11. They had Billy Graham in there, which I'm glad for, but they also had a Muslim imam. You know, this old thing of putting everybody together. Everybody's God is equal. No, no, no. All the gods that Israel got in trouble with, the little G gods, they were not equal with the Lord God Jehovah, and they provoked his wrath and brought his judgment. God is a jealous God, the Bible says. He says, I shall have no other gods before me. Now, we look around today and we see our leadership saying, let's put them all together. So there at the National Cathedral, they put out the word this week. They invited a Buddhist nun. They invited some Hindu. They invited some of the Dalai Lama crowd. But they didn't invite evangelical Christians, and the caption on the news said, are no Baptists. Now, in a way, I'm kind of proud. Maybe they think the Baptists might have slipped up and told the truth. I would hope one would, anyway, amen? But all of a sudden, why are we signaled out as the danger while they bring all this crowd in, including the crowd that flew the planes into the buildings? They're represented, but basic middle America can't be represented. Christianity can't be represented. We better listen to this stuff, folks. Psalm 74, verse 23. Turn over with me. I don't believe I have it marked. I'll just give you the first. I'll just quote best I can on the first statement. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. Hear me again. Mark it down. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. That's the first statement in it. Look back up here at me. I'll lose you while you're hunting. Look at me. We better understand the voice of our enemies are still telling us what they want to do to us. Do you know how the mosque in Jerusalem, after Osama bin Laden was killed, that the leader over there, the leading imam, come out and he said this about the death of Osama bin Laden. He said, America is the American dogs. He called us a bunch of dogs. He said the dogs should not rejoice over killing a lion. He said because even a dead lion is still a lion, and the dogs are still dogs. That's the voice of your loving religion coming out of the mosque in Jerusalem. I don't care whether you like it or not out in Radio Land, I'll just tell you the truth. It's a little strange to some of you. Some of the churches you go to won't touch what I'm saying on 9/11 or any other day. But we better forget not that voice. He also said when our caliphate comes in, that's their kingdom, we're going to take care of these dogs. He's talking about us, folks. He's talking about us. That's what he's talking about. I don't have time to drop this on you. I'm going to drop it anyway. It gets me in trouble. Commonly called now, this new health program, commonly called Obamacare. Nancy Pelosi said, we'll pass it, then we'll see what's in it. Well, it's kind of interesting now what's showing up in it. On page 107 in it, you have a word that I cannot pronounce. It's a Muslim word. I wanna give it to you. I'm gonna see if I wrote a note somewhere. I'm gonna see if I can find it and spell it for you. It's an Islamic word. It's spelled D-H-I-M-M-I-T-U-D-E. Dimitude. It's not an American word. It's a Muslim word. Now let's see what it means. Do you understand in the Muslim religion that it tells them to kill the infidels unless the infidels are willing to submit to them and pay a tax for allowing them to be left alive? That is the word for that. Do you understand somebody's got plans for us in America to submit and, if not get killed, pay tax? Now you got to remember something. In Obamacare, Islam is exempted. That don't mean they can't go to the hospital that's being paid for with our tax money and get service. But they're being exempted. Now, are we Baptists going to get exempted? Methodists going to get exempted? Presbyterians going to get exempted? No, but Muslims can. So, well, it don't. What does that mean? Well, hey, it'll get down where we live. I got a letter from a mission board this week. That mission board said, do you understand that they're going to be putting pressure on us to force the churches that support the missionaries to make sure the missionaries have this health care coverage? Do you understand what that would do for missions? Preacher, you know what I'm talking about. We couldn't do that. Couldn't do that. For the first time in America's history, citizens are being forced under government law penalty to have to purchase something whether they want it or not. So that's politics. No, that's truth. That's truth because we're coming under, if we're not careful, we're coming under a false God situation. And we better not forget the voice of the enemy, as the psalmist said right there. And the text can come is coming true. What Moses said about Israel forgetting brought them into the same trouble that we're going to get in as Americans if we forget our God, or if we substitute our God. Do you know that's what's happening now? Do you know what the biggest God is that's recognized in the public education, state education system? It's the green God. It's Mother Earth. It's Earth Day. Gaia, Mother Earth. Do you know that liberals are teaching that you and I are basically proselytes? That's not right. Parasites. Parasites on Mother Earth's head. In other words, we're head lice. I'll get it down where you understand it in a minute. You know what you're supposed to do with head lice? You're supposed to kill them. You know what there's a crowd out there saying? They're saying that Mother Earth needs to annihilate a bunch of us because there were too many lice on her. You don't believe me, do you? Hey, folks, go behind the wall and see what's going on. Wake up a little bit. I'm talking about getting in trouble. See, man is built to where he's going to worship some god one way or the other. This world abhors a vacuum. You don't worship the Lord God Jehovah through the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, something else will take their place. Always something else will rush in. And by the way, the nation of Bolivia right now has a vote in the United Nations, and this month of September is important up there right now with the UN because they're fixing the vote against Israel. But Bolivia has petitioned and is going to offer a resolution in the UN to grant Mother Earth all the rights of a living human being. I doubt it will pass this time. But it's going to be introduced. You don't believe that we got a crowd trying to kick the Lord Jehovah out and substitute a false god. That's what's going on. And Mother Earth is coming in real big, leading the race right now. But they accept any. Don't you see the satanic spirit behind this? Any God's all right except the true God. Any God's all right except the Lord God Jehovah and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the position that we're seeing. I want to say to you, forgetting, as Americans, if we forget what made us great, our foundations are going to be destroyed. False gods are going to step in. And that is going to cost us our future preparation. So what do you mean? I mean your kids are going to be raised up to say, Jesus who? That's right. I mean, they're going to be taught not the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ that loved them and died for them on the cross of Calvary, but they're going to be taught a substitute. And just like the little girl came home and said the planes didn't fly into the tower, you know, Hitler said if you tell a big lie long enough, people will believe it. And so if in the classroom, when something else is being substituted, in those little pliable minds, they go home with this kind of junk, and too many parents are interested in boats and cars and houses and clothes, and they don't care what the kid's being taught. Too true. Too true. No, I'll tell you something. Future preparation. I don't have time, but you could look at the story found in Daniel chapter 5. Of a younger king that came to the throne. His name was Belshazzar. His grandpa Nebuchadnezzar had gone into Jerusalem and raided the temple and took the Jews captive, and he'd taken the vessels out of the temple. And now God has dealt with him, even caused him in his pride to have to go out and live like an animal in a cow pasture and let his hair grow like feathers and nails. And yet God sustained him out there to teach him a lesson. And when he got his mind back, he honored the right God. You read it over there. But Belshazzar's on the throne. Belshazzar's got the big car. He's got the keys to the car that night. He's in charge of the kingdom. He's spinning his wheels and turning the corners fast. He's a big wheel. And so he sends and gets the golden vessels that were stolen out of the temple of God, brings them into his drunken orgy, to his drunken party, and begins to drink the wine out of them and mock God. And all of a sudden, on the plaster of the wall, the fingers of a man's hand appears, and writing begins to take place on the wall. Oh, that put a damper on the party. You read it close and you'll find out Belshazzar's knees smote together. He was so afraid. You read it close and he called for help for somebody to interpret those words. And they brought Daniel in because Daniel was the only one that could. And Daniel told him, you're weighed in the balances and found wanting. Tonight your kingdom is going to be taken from you. It happened that night. That old king was so afraid. He forgot that God had dealt with his grandpa. He forgot that God had dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel reminded him. He said, you know what God did? You knew these things, yet you blasphemed him anyway. Yet you turned your back on him anyway. I want to say to our nation today, we better not forget. We better remember that God's hand of judgment as well as his blessings has fallen in the past and will fall again. Oh, America is reaping in forgetfulness. This morning, Luke 21:26 over there talks about how that men's hearts are going to fail them in the last days for the things coming on the earth as the powers of heaven is shaken. I believe we're already seeing phenomena. I believe storms and earthquakes and droughts and floods. I believe God is saying you better remember the one that controls it all. You better remember the one from whose hand blessings can come or judgment can come. I say to you this morning, it's a beautiful day out the windows, but it can change that quick. If you don't believe it, ask some of the folks in the disaster areas right now. It can change that quick. We need to get in touch with God. We need to remember our Lord. We need to get back, as we were singing, to ask God's blessing in prayer. Yes, we do. I mean, forgetfulness will destroy our future preparation. There's a little secret going on. There's an asteroid coming. you've seen it in the news. It's called Eros. Eros, E-R-O-S, however you say it. NASA sent up a satellite not long ago and landed on it. Remember, you watch the news? I don't know if it was on Oprah for some of you, or maybe not even on Dr. Phil. But if you watch some stuff with a little content, it was in the news. It was in the news. And they landed a satellite on it. And that was a great achievement. But they didn't tell you why they landed the satellite on it. They did a little practice run to see if they could land on it and plant a bomb if necessary, because the thing is coming real close across the Earth's orbit path. Now, it may not. And they don't know if a bomb would knock it off course or not. I got some doubts with something that's a 26-mile diameter that they're going to change much. You say, why are you telling us that? To scare us? I'm just telling you that things are coming. Heavens are going to be shaken. The fear is going to fall on men. And the trouble is that they're going to wonder which God to turn to, because they've been brainwashed so long till they don't know the answer. I hope you know the answer this morning. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ that died for your sins. I hope you know the one that loved you enough to shed his blood that you could go to heaven. I hope you know him, because this world is being pushed away from him. There's a plan to make folks forget. I hate to say it, but that plan seems to be working. And if we as God's people don't wake up, if we don't get back, if we don't wake up our neighbors and our friends to say, hey, God that loved you and died for you is still also a God of wrath and of judgment. And if our nation turns our back on him, we're going to be in trouble. I ask you today, you say, well, I hope America turns back. Let me ask you, have you turned back? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? How many times have you heard the gospel and said no to it? My friend, when these things begin to happen, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, when the judgment begins to fall, and I believe God's people will already be caught out, but the enemy is going to be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them. Hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. Oh, I'm glad that one day somebody told me how much God loved me, enough to give his son to die for my sins. When I heard that, was the best news I ever heard in my life. And I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I understand what the book says, and I know it's going to be. But bless God, I know it's all right. I'm his child. He's my father, and heaven's my home. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I hope that you do. My friend, if you're not saved, you shouldn't walk out of that door lost. You ought to come forward and receive Christ this morning. This old world is on a crash course of destruction as it turns its back on its Creator. You don't have to turn your back. You can come receive Christ as your Savior. I pray that you will. Let's bow our heads.